The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, this highly anticipated documentary, Boyzone, No Matter What, it's going to be available on Sky from this coming Sunday. A lot of people will have seen the coverage of the premiere. I was lucky enough to get a sneak preview myself. And luckier still, that Shane Lynch from the band is with me now. Shane, listen, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat to us.
My absolute pleasure, my friend. And hey, I'm loving this title, The Hard Shoulder. That's right up my street.
Great. I'm glad you approve. Listen, the documentary, I mean, it takes this kind of deep dive, obviously, into the highs and lows of the whole Boyzone journey. And it's, I mean, it doesn't shy away from some of the kind of the darker moments in that journey. When you saw the finished version of it and you kind of watched it back, what emotions did it bring up for you?
Well, you know, it's sure not a fluffy pop doc. That's definite. It does have some darkness to it, without a doubt. But it's a story of, you know, five individuals, young boys growing up in Dublin and making it into this world called the music industry. And I watched it a number of times in different circumstances. What I mean by that is, A, by myself. And, you know, I think that was the easiest part to do. And then I watched it with my family at one point, with my wife and kids. And then I watched it with my mom and dad. And it gave me different emotions because of the people around me. So I was kind of sat more thinking, ooh, I wonder how they feel about that, which kind of made me, like when I was looking at my mom, looking at certain things, talking about, you know, me being, you know, lonely or lost in the world of this industry. And obviously my mom and dad, you know, they love their children, and to see them kind of talk that way, I was thinking, oh my God, if that's going to upset them, kind of upset me. And so, you know, different circumstances for the journey itself, I think, over this 3 hours of, put into 30 years, put into 3 hours of Boyzone life.
What do you think might surprise fans, Boyzone fans, when they watch it?
There's a lot going on in there, and there's a lot of honesty. There's a lot of, you know, let's call it backstage, the stuff that no one really gets to see or hear or talk about. And we kind of are warts and all.
Were there things, you know, warts and all, that that you were still hesitant, that were harder maybe to talk about than others when it came to making it?
Well, you know, I think we are curious as a filmmaker. They very interestingly separated us, and we individually did our talk about the world that we lived in without the others. Support or confidence or lack of, oh man, I don't want to say that because he's sitting next to me. And, you know, they gave us the opportunity to be honest. And some stuff in there that it really is honest. And they played us clips from each other's interviews and for us to bounce back on what they had said about that situation. And, you know, they did an amazing job of it, I think.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the fascinating parts. And I just wonder about that. I mean, what were the things that kind of made you look at a situation or an experience with a fresh perspective, something maybe that kind of Ronan or Mikey or somebody said, and you thought, I hadn't looked at it that way?
No, without a doubt. You know, I mean, I heard Mikey's story, Rose's story, Keith's story almost for the first time, even though I lived with those boys from 93 to 2000. And I didn't know what they were going through with some of the stuff that they were saying on screen. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember being in the country and I never knew you were that down. I remember traveling the world with you and I never knew you were that sad. I never, you know, it's quite, I guess the inside, even for myself, is amazing, and I live the journey, so I can only imagine what the people are going to take from this.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how it's like that thing that people talk about with trauma, that two people can experience the exact same event and interpret it in different ways. And you see that in this, like, that all of you went through this as a group, but you experienced it as individuals, everything you went through.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a Matthew, Mark, Luke and John biblical scenario, you know. they talk of being conflicting in the Bible, but actually it's not. It's just their story and what they witnessed themselves. And as a witness, in my moment and the stuff that I went through, you know, I'm listening to the boys telling some stories that I don't even remember, and I certainly don't remember the way they're telling it and stuff like that. So, you know, we really did have our own individuality and mindsets on survival tactics within the industry.
And listen, Stephen obviously is, you know, his absence is central to all of this, you know, to the story as well. How important was that for you in the finished product?
I guess, you know, more than I think it's presence more than his absence, actually, because his presence itself was, you know, it's a huge part of the boys' own story, and it's in many dynamics of Steel, many dynamics of his 90s coming out gay scenario into his death, into, you know, the life that he lived, and his journey is completely different than mine altogether. So, you know, I guess we as a collective, as a group, you know, all our stories are poignant and just deep, like really deep.
You know, Louis Walsh contributes as well to it, and I guess there's been a focus as well on the relationship between ye guys and Louis then and today as well. How do you define the relationship today? How do you see your relationship with Louis?
I love Louis Walsh. Absolutely love him. And me personally, I never had any qualms with him. I never fell out with Louis. You know, he might say some bits and pieces that I didn't perhaps agree with, but nothing to the effect where it would upset me or you know, I didn't care for the man no more. I think he's an absolute genius. I think, you know, he is a creator. He's a music maker, creator. He's all of the above, and he did amazing stuff for Boys on Westlife and Girls Aloud, and you know, he's the real deal.
Do you feel the wider industry exploited you at any time? Was that a sense you have looking back?
I wouldn't call it the wider industry exploiting us. I think the industry is exploitation in itself. I think, you know, it takes young artists and it puts you in positions that you're not ready for in many, many ways. But can you be taught how to be ready for that? No, absolutely not. It's called living life. And it's called, if you want to be in a particular job, title, role, anything of the else, you got to learn. And we have to learn on our feet. And, you know, I think in the greatest respect of loads of artists today, can they have more support around them? Very possibly. But at the same time, are you going to listen to somebody around you? No, not really. Just living your own life.
Are you kind of thankful for the fact, though, that for all the pressures that were on you at different times, that you didn't grow up in a world of kind of social media where there's maybe a sense of added pressure? Or do we exaggerate that sense of added pressure? Did you feel just as much?
No, I think it's not that we exaggerate it. I think there's a presence of innocence back in the 90s for sure. Mm-hmm. However, the workload and ethic that we had to go through to achieve global success like the artists do now with the social media, I think it's more on their side. I think they have a better route to market, let's call it. Like, we had to physically go to the town and shake the hands of the people. We don't have to do that anymore. So I think we probably had more pressure than anything. Although at the same sense, you know, we do live in this world of accessibility right now, where in the 90s, there was still pop stardom and you weren't that accessible unless you turned up to the gig. And nowadays, you can be anywhere. In a moment on a screen.
You said it, the story really, you know, there's so much to it, but it's ultimately, it's the story of these kind of lads from Dublin thrown together and kind of thrust into stardom. Did you appreciate, or at what point in that journey did you begin to appreciate the success?
I don't think I still appreciate the success 30 years later. I'm honoured, you know, to stand on, you know, Sky have done, like Sky Ireland, Sky UK, what an incredible job they have done for us over these last couple of days of, you know, the premiere. And just, it was just kind of witnessing and kind of catapulted us back into the world of wow and importance, and to be a band called Boys On and to walk the red carpet and to do these interviews, you know, talking to yourself. It's a story that we didn't realize was going to be so big, but it's massive.
What would you like people who do sit down and watch us from this weekend onwards? What do you hope they get out of it?
I hope to get a sense of their own understanding of the music artists that they listen to outside of just Boys On. Maybe they get a bit of a glimpse of the reality of what it is to be in such an industry. But I think at the same time, you know, we as the five members of Boys On, we're given an opportunity to create records for people. And those people have their stories, their memories, their timelines, their weddings, their funerals, their first dates, whatever you want to call it. It's we're the people's band, and I think all music or artists should feel that way, as opposed to being the hierarchy. No, I think the people own our records.
Shane, listen, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million.
My absolute pleasure, my friend. Have a beautiful day.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.